This is our fifth week in the series, Creating Environments to See What God Can Do Through You. I believe as we create environments where that welcomes the Spirit of God, when we create those environments, it can change our life. We've talked about many different environments, an environment of worship, an environment of faith. We talked about an environment of community. You can go back into the podcast or on our website and grab those environments, because some of those environments will touch your life and will help you. Last week, we talked about an environment, or the week before, I can't remember, extravagant grace. Extravagant grace. The extravagant grace of God who sent his son Jesus to save this world. It's a phenomenal story. And if we live in an environment of grace or in an environment of community that is godly, guess what will happen? We'll start seeing our lives being changed and being touched by God. Today we're talking about creating an environment of love. Environment of love. It's probably, I can't think of a better time than to talk about love. And we didn't plan this. I mean, this is just kind of how it works. As we walk into Valentine's Day, it just happens to be that we're talking about love today. In the English language, we have one word for love. Love. But it's used in many different formats. I can say, I love my wife, which has a specific meaning. But then I can say, I love a juicy New York steak. And it has a different meaning. I can say I love the Seattle Seahawks. Brian can say he loves the Philadelphia Eagles. Go, go, Philadelphia Eagles. The winners are the champions of the Super Bowl. I'm throwing it out for you. You didn't throw it out there, so I had to throw it out for you. So I can say I love that. But you can see that there's many different formats that we use for the word love. And sometimes what happens is love gets watered down because we use it in so many different ways in our life. In the Greek language of the New Testament, there are four different words that we translate into the English language as love. Let me give you an example. The Greek word phileo describes a love that is built upon a strong friendship. So when they're talking about a strong friendship in the Greek, in the New Testament, the word phileo would be there. There's a Greek word named storge. It's a love that is best described, a love between family members. It's a love between a father and a son. It's really a love that's a lifelong love, storge. There's a love that's called eros. It's a love that is the romantic love. As you're coming into Valentine's, it's a love that is full of passion. That's the word that they use between a love between a husband and a wife. And then there is agape love. This is a godly love. It's a supernatural love that is given to us by God. It's listed, catch this love, agape, is listed as one of the fruit of the spirits. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goes down the list. This is that love, agape love. It's a perfect love. It's a pure love. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's a love that carries no intentions, that has to have some kind of payback. It's completely self-sacrificing. It carries no expectation of return. It's a love that is willing to be put into action. It's a love that gave Jesus. Remember, this is a love that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a love that gave Jesus the power to go to the cross. It's an agape love. It's a love that the Father had when he gave his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. This is the love that we'll be referencing today, agape love. What would happen in our life if we chose to create an environment of love that we resided in? Agape love in our life. What would happen? An authentic love that is not based, catch this, an authentic love that is not based on our emotions. Woo! Man, emotions will take you all different kinds of directions. But what happens if we had a love that wasn't based on our emotions, but they were based on the principles of God's word, the principle of who God is? That's the love. Agape love should drive us to action because it's based on what we believe. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 4:10, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. It's a love of action. Action. Agape love is a love that is revealed by God himself. out of all the environments that I've been talking about, out of all the environments that you could, maybe you want to live in an environment of hope. We're not talking about that. Hey, we're not limiting you to these six. These are six that we're laying out. In your life, you might say, I want to have an environment of hope always in my life. And hey, you create that environment of hope in your life. But out of all the environments that we could create, this is the most important. This is absolutely the central theme of the heart of God. This is the most important the environment that we can have, is the environment of love. It's an agape love. Jesus summed up all the commandments with this: love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's an agape love. The Greek word used to describe love, it's a love that is selfless, pure, and self-sacrificing. It's a love that gives, that is given when a child shares his favorite toy with someone else. It's a love that is given when a wife cares for her husband who has been seriously injured and permanently disabled. It's a love that is given when a person has the ability to forgive their parents who abused them when they were a child. It's the love that is given when a homeless person shares a meal with someone else. It's the love that is given when we willingly sacrifice for one another. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Lord Jesus, I pray right now today that you would give us, Lord God, clear minds, open hearts to receive your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is known as the love chapter in the Bible, that the greatest gift that you could ever attain is the gift of love. In fact, Paul states you can do many, many wonderful things, but if you do not have love, it's all useless. Useless. You are nothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, the Apostle Paul makes a powerful statement. I'm not going to read it today, but you can read it for yourself. But he makes a powerful statement that I think many times we just gloss over these words. He writes, love never fails. Have you ever thought about those words? Agape love, love, self-sacrificing love, love never, pure love never fails. The older I get, the more I realize the simple truth that love doesn't fail. If you're in a tough situation and you don't know what to do, thank you. Let's try it one more time. If you're in a tough situation and you don't know what to do, love. Let's try it one more time. If you're in a tough situation and you don't know what to do,
love.
Yeah, read your Bible. Look how people respond. Look how Jesus responded. He loved. It was an agape, self-sacrificing love. He died on a cross for people who hated him. Do you not think that he had the ability to call down the angels from heaven and rescue him? Absolutely. It was a self-sacrificing love. If you're in a situation you don't quite know how to respond, don't respond with hate. Respond with love. Because love never fails. The greatest environment that you can create in your life is this environment of love. John writes, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Let me read it again. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. What is John describing in this verse? He's describing an environment. He's describing an environment of love. An environment is the conditions that surround you, which influences your life. If you live in love, then you live in God, which will have great influence in your life. I want you to have this scripture. Where's that scripture? Do we have it up there? Can we put that back up? Is it there? God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. We live in love, live in God. It's an environment that God is welcoming us to step into. And when we love, all of a sudden, we start understanding who God is. And the more we love, the more that God lives in us. Did you? Oh, that was good. I just got blessed right here preaching. Woo! That was good stuff. God wants you to be influenced by his love. God desires that you live in an environment of godly love. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It's the greatest example of agape love that we could ever see. It's a love that is willing to give and sacrifice for the benefit of others. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you are being influenced by the environment of love that God has created. It's an environment that should be changing your life. It's an environment that should change the way you think, and it's the environment that should change the way you act, the environment of love. In the Gospel of Luke, there is a great story that Jesus shares to a religious expert. This would be like sharing a story to a Bible scholar today. A religious expert back in Jesus' times, all he did was study scriptures. He studied the law, the Old Testament law, and he was a religious expert. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus shares a story. It's the only place in the Bible that this story is found. The Good Samaritan is found only in Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. And it reveals, I believe, the heart of the gospel. It's a story that speaks directly to creating an environment of authentic love. Follow along as I read this story. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus responds, "Right!" The guy's sharp. I mean, he's right on it. "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions. Key phrase right there. The man wanted to justify his actions. Man wanted to justify. How many times have you ever wanted to justify your actions? You say something, and you go, "Ooh, I need to justify my actions." This is where this person found. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these three would you say, this is Jesus asking the religious expert, "Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus says, "Yes, go now and do the same." From this story, I want to share some valuable truths, some insights on what authentic love looks like in our life. If we want to create an environment of love, we don't want to create a false environment. We want to create a true environment. We want to create an authentic environment of love that will change our life and change the lives of people around us. Amen? So the first thing that we need to discover is authentic love doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate. One of the pervading truths in this story is that love goes beyond the boundaries of culture, race, economics, age. God's love is not divided for certain people groups only. The expert of the law was trying to justify his actions. You see, the idea that he loved God, oh yeah, he had that down. He felt like he's pretty comfortable with that. "I love God. Yeah, yeah, that works. Yeah, that's okay." But the second commandment that he shared, "Love your neighbor as yourself," ooh, he was a little bit more uneasy with that statement. "I can handle the first, love God. Ooh, love your neighbor yourself. Okay, wait a minute here. Now, who's my neighbor?" Do you see how the story's going? We don't know exactly where the question is being asked. We don't know exactly where it's being asked. We don't know if it's happening in the synagogue or if it's happening on the streets. I do know this, that most likely if it's Jesus talking with this religious expert, there's probably a crowd around him, because anytime Jesus is outside of his disciples, there were crowds that were around him. So the expert of the law was comfortable with the first statement, love God, but uneasy with the second statement, loving the neighbor, and therefore asked Jesus for further clarification. We don't know why he was uneasy. Maybe it was his conscience that was getting to him. Maybe he knew that he had done something recently. Maybe, you know, he talked bad about his wife in front of someone. I don't know. Something's happening. Or maybe it was a peer group that surrounded him, and they knew who he really was outside of the temple. We don't know the reason why he was uneasy, but for whatever reason, he was. That's why he asked the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus goes on sharing this amazing story about a Jewish man who has been beaten and robbed. The idea that Jesus chose a Samaritan man to be the hero of the story slaps the Jewish culture right in the face because there was racial tension between the Jewish and the Samaritans. And Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. I've stepped on toes here at South Coast Christian. I know I have. But you've never had your toes stepped on like Jesus just did. I mean, he didn't step, he stomped on their toes. There was a Jewish man one time, and he was walking down, he got beaten and robbed, and then a Samaritan man, as soon as he said that, everything in them would have brought, because there was racial tension. But why was Jesus sharing the story like he was sharing it? Because he was trying to reveal authentic love. He was trying to reveal agape love, a love that wasn't based on emotions. It was a love that was based on truth and principle. He was trying to break down all these religiosities and all these things and get to the heart of a person. It says, if your heart doesn't change, you need to have an agape love. Who is your neighbor? Look around. Everybody you see is your neighbor. God's love is not divided and it has no boundaries. It pushes beyond skin color. It pushes beyond social economics. It pushes beyond any boundary that man has created. In fact, we do not understand that God's... Let me ask you this question. Do you understand that the agape love that we're talking about, God's love, he loves the thief? He loves the sex offender. He loves the terrorist. It's hard for us to understand that. He does. He loves them. He died for them. He doesn't love their actions. He doesn't love the things that they did, but he loves the person. And if we're to be God-like, if we're to be walking after Christ, what we have to do is we can't base our love on our emotions. We have to base our love on our principles of God's word. That, you know what? He died on the cross for the thief. He died on the cross for the sex offender. He died on the cross for the terrorist. Well, I'm usually shouting and you go, woo, Pastor Tom, preach it. See, something happens when I preach in this scenario because you just don't want to love those. But God says we do. In fact, in his word, he says, if we don't love, how are you going to ever enter into the kingdom of God? Because you'll never understand who I am. The only way you're ever going to understand God is by understanding love, agape love. God is love. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. I'm keep going. Second truth I want to share from this story is authentic love cares for others. In verse 33 of Luke chapter 10, the scripture states that the Samaritan felt compassion for the Jewish man who had been beaten. He felt compassion. There are two very powerful words, felt compassion. As Christians, if we ever lose our feeling of compassion, we have lost the very nature of God. God is a compassionate God. In the story of the prodigal son, the father looks afar and sees his son, and it says in the scripture, he felt compassion. Several times in scripture, Jesus saw the crowds, and as the crowds gathered, you can read it for yourself in scripture, it says that Jesus had compassion on them. When Jesus encountered the widow who lost her boy to death, it says in scripture, his heart overflowed with compassion. When Jesus healed the two blind men, it says that he had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion. You serve a God that is filled with compassion. If you ever lose your heart of compassion, you've lost the heart of God. Agape love has a compassion that comes from inside your life that has to be shared out with others. The love that the Father gives us is filled with compassion. Filled with compassion. I'm sending my son Jesus. That's all I have to say. And you got to understand the compassion of God's love. Creating an environment of love in our life keeps us directly connected to the very heart of God. Remember the scripture that I shared earlier with you today in 1 John 4:16, God is love and all who live in God, or all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The third truth I want to share with you today is the authentic love sacrifices. Authentic love sacrifices for others. Look at the sacrifice of the Samaritan man. Not only did he sacrifice his time, he stayed on the same side of the street. He didn't walk across the street and just ignore the man that was hurt. He stayed there. He put him on his own donkey. He sacrificed, took him to an inn. He sacrificed his money. He paid the innkeeper 2 silver coins. And then he makes a statement, whatever this does not cover, when I come back, I'll pay you the rest. He even sacrificed his finances in the future. That's agape love. It's a love that sacrifices. Does this remind you of anyone? It should remind you of someone who hung on a cross, who was hated, who was spat upon, who was despised. And he went, nothing was going to stop our Jesus from doing what he needed to do to save our life. Authentic love sacrifices. It's interesting, the greatest accomplishments in life will require some type of sacrifice. Authentic love is no different. Many people are looking to experience love, but catch this, many people are looking to experience love, but are unwilling to make the sacrifice that it costs, that it takes. I'm not talking about the romantic love. I'm talking about just love. Just the love that you have for one another, a love that we have for God, a love that goes out this direction. Many people want to experience that love. They're missing that love in their life. They know they're missing it. They're trying to find it in all kinds of different things. They try to find it in the clubs. They try to find it on date lines. They try to find it, all these things. They're missing a great big black hole in their heart. They don't know what it is, and they're missing the love of God in their life. And anytime you want to have love, I'm telling you, the greatest things that you ever accomplish in your life requires great sacrifice. And if you want to experience the agape love that God is talking about in here, it requires great sacrifice from your life. When you are willing to step out in faith and trust God and sacrifice, guess what? You are creating an environment around your life of agape love, and I'm telling you right now, it will change you. It will. You have no option. You're going to change. I would argue, just as James writes, faith without works is dead, I would say love without action is dead. Love without action is dead. You can say you love, but if you have no action, then it's dead. It requires sacrifice. The fourth truth I want to share with you today is authentic love dispels fear. There are times where we face difficult situations. The Samaritan man could have allowed fear or hate to rule his life. No one would probably have blamed him. But he didn't allow the fear of racism, or he didn't allow the fear of hate to deter him from what was right. Agape love gave him the power to help overcome his fears. It gave him the encouragement to step out in faith and trust God. I've watched people who live in the environment of fear or hate. They're never happy. Always complaining. Never satisfied. Always there's a conspiracy theory around every corner. They're impossible to please. You give them this, you can't please them. And they live every single day in misery because they choose to live in an environment of fear and hate. Then I've watched people who choose to live in an environment of love. They're joyful. Even in the most difficult situations, they're still joyful. You go, how can, because they're living in an environment of agape love that is given to them by God. They're joyful. They're seeking the good in people, not the bad. They're quick to forgive. They're praising instead of criticizing. They're content. Oh my gosh, that's a word we don't hear very often anymore in today's society. They're content. Overall, they're just happy people. Why? If you want to have happiness, if you want to have joy in your life, create an environment of agape love around your life. See what takes place. God will change your life. They have chosen to allow love to triumph over their fears. That's why I love this new song that Brett wrote. Your love has chased my fears away. There's so much truth in that statement. If we truly receive the love of God, it will chase the fears that you might have in your life completely away. This man, this Samaritan man, he could have been fearful. He's helping a Jewish man. He doesn't know what his friends might even say. His friends might condemn him for doing that kind of, what are you doing helping? And you know what? He put all that aside because all of a sudden, compassion, it says that he had compassion. The compassion in his heart chased, the love of God chased the fears away, and he just did what was right. The fifth thing I want to share with you today is that authentic love transforms your life. Why was Jesus so adamant that we love? Jesus narrowed all the commandments down to just two, and both of them, he narrowed all the commandments down to two, and both of them involved agape love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. He took everything, all the commandments, and narrowed them down to this one word, love. Why did the Apostle Paul write that love is the greatest quality of all? Why is that the love that is above all other things? It's because love is what will transform your life and the lives of those around you. Listen to John's words once again, along with the first part. I'm reading the last half of verse 16 and the first half of verse 17 of 1 John 4, 16 and 17. Listen to the words carefully. I'm reading it over and over again just because I want to create this environment. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. You can't live in God if you live in hate. You can't live in God if you're living in jealousy. You can't live in God. Are you catching the environment that you got to live in? All who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Create an environment that's receiving the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. I love that statement. As we live in God, as we continue to love God, as we continue to live in love and God lives in us, all of a sudden, he starts perfecting our love. Our life starts to change. We're creating an environment where all of a sudden, change is happening in our life. And it's because we're living in love and we're living in God. If you truly want to know the nature of God, then you must love. That's a really good statement. I'll read it one more time. If you truly want to know the nature of God, then you must choose to love. Real love is experienced in God's love, and his love will transform your life. We experience God's love when we practice agape love. It's amazing to me. Like yesterday, we went out and served, and we had people serving in our church in different areas. We were having one group of people that was helping someone move in our church, and then there was a group of us that went down, and we served down at Camp Pendleton yesterday. Man, we gave out, I don't know, like maybe to 60 families. We gave out groceries, and we partnered with another church. They're the leaders of it, and we just came to bring bodies to help. And I bet you they gave $200 to $300 of groceries to every single military family there. There's probably 60 to 70 military families. You want to talk about agape love going out. I mean, that was love, selfless love, self-sacrificing love. And man, you can't help but walk away changed. You can't help but walk away feeling good because it's not about you. It's about serving others. And all of a sudden, man, you walk away and you get blessed in the process of it. You go like, how'd that happen? You just feel good. I'm not any richer. I don't, you know, I just feel good. You know what I'm saying? You just feel good. If you start, this is extra, no extra cost. Don't put any extra money in the offering for this statement right here, okay? Because it's not my notes, so it's not, you don't have to pay for it. Just teasing, guys. If you're feeling crappy, can I use that word? Is that okay? Okay. Mama said I could, so I'm going to go that way. She gives me permission. Feeling crappy? Go and serve. Go give of yourself. See what happens. Get off your couch. Get out of your cubicle. Get out of your bed. Go serve. See what happens. Changes your life. Why? Because when you're serving, there's an agape love in your heart. You're doing something that's selfless, and it changes your life. God is love, and all who live in God live in God, and live in love, live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Without love, we can never be like God. It's this environment of love that we can find true value and worth. When we begin to understand God's love for us, it will transform your thinking and it will transform your actions. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully." You'll never understand it. But when you experience it, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. God's love is beyond your imagination and your understanding or your comprehension, but you catch a glimpse of it and you start embracing his love, and it will radically change your life. If you want your life to be transformed, then create an environment of love and step into it today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you, Lord God, showed us what real love is. It's not that we loved you, but that you loved us and sent your son to die on a cross for the sins of the world. Lord God, you provided salvation for the broken, for the hurting, for the lost. God, you provided healing, Lord God, for those that were sick, those that were downcast, those that were struggling. Lord, we thank you that you are God that loves. Lord, right now I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray for Wayne Turnbull today, God, as he's been struggling physically this morning, a missionary of your love. God, I pray today he will feel the power of your Holy Spirit touch his life, that you would raise him up from the bed, Lord God, that you would take the pain away, that you would give Doris, Lord God, an extravagant grace, Lord God, for her, Lord God, to feel that environment of your love, of your goodness, Lord Jesus, today. For those that are here today, Lord God, that have never experienced your love, they're searching for it. They need you, God. I pray today they step out in faith. If you're here today, every head bowed, eyes closed, and you are listening to my message today, and you say, "Pastor Tom, I'm trying to create something. I don't know what I'm trying to create, but I'm trying to create something." But you've never really stepped out in faith and followed God. You've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you're here today, and this message is moving you, which I believe is the Holy Spirit moving in your heart and your life. And you're willing to step away from the sin that has kept you lost, the sin that has kept you broken, the sin that keeps you away from receiving all that God has for your life. And you're saying, "I'm ready to accept his forgiveness. I'm ready to step into his love. I'm ready to step into his extravagant grace." If that's you here today, heads bowed, eyes closed, raise your hand real high, because we want to say a prayer with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Say this prayer with me, congregation, all together. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for my sins. I turn away from my sins and I choose to follow you today. Set me free, God, of my past. And God, bring anew all the things that you have for my life. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said amen. God is good. He's good all the time. Pastor Tom loves you. South Coast Christian loves you. But more importantly, man, God loves you.